Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
Yeah, when you look at the DARPA's logo, I don't know if it's changed it, but the original logo they had for DARPA, the big agency for US defense and so on, that's involved in really high-tech research and development to do with monitoring all of us. Its logo was a pyramid with the all-seeing eye and with a beam of light coming down from the eye on all the little weeds below that represent the public. And these symbols are everywhere from all government institutions and agencies and all private corporations as well. I watch the trains going by here every day, and you'll see all the corporate logos and you'll see all the Masonic symbology there. And pretty well all of them. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. So, but he appeals to the dollar bill to this, and he says, "But listen, don't tell anybody." He says, "It's bad for your career if anybody finds out." Couldn't mean the conspiracy idea, right? And they said, "But look on that dollar bill. There's an all-seeing eye in a pyramid. What do you know?" He says, "That symbol is thousands of years old." He says. He starts talking about it a little bit. And he's trying to get through to this person, this youngster he's grooming, to be a leader, you see. That's what they do. They pick future leaders. And he's telling them that there's a bigger power running the whole system than just you electing whoever's put in front of you to vote for. He's grooming the guy. But anyway, that audio got out there, and you might be able to listen to it. If you get a hold of it. And that's how the world really is run, though. This is the professor that remembered that Bill Clinton gave accolades to, and he said that was his mentor, was Professor Carol Quigley, that got him into politics and got him the Rhodes Scholarship.
Well, what we know about Egypt is that they ruled a good part of the ancient world for an awful long time. And Egypt had varying different kinds of priests specializing in certain areas. They had their own secret rites, of course. They had their different layers of writing that only initiates could understand. And they also truly believed, again, just like today, that the right for those to rule was in the blood. It was hereditary, and that's why sometimes even pharaohs would marry their sister to keep this special whatever it was within the family lineage. So back in Egypt's time, you had millions of slaves really all over, a huge enterprise of many, many countries that were taken over, all slaving for a small elite. But they also indoctrinated the peasantry into the fact that the Eye of Ra was all around them, all seeing. It's like the eye in the sky, it's like satellites today. And they had the peasants believing that if they tried to run off, then this all-seeing God would know they were going to do it, know where they were. And psychologically, in other words, they trained them that they couldn't even escape. Whatever came out of Egypt is so interesting because the biggest export of Egypt was revolution. And Pythagoras went there to train and study. We know that Plato went there. Many of the aristocrats in Greece went there for their main education. Plato was initiated into the mystery religions, he said. We have the writings of Herodotus too, who talks about being initiated into them. He gives a bit more in his writings about it in his histories. And we know that they went on from there to possibly the Middle East, to the next place for the next bunch of degrees. And their final destination was India, of all places, for even higher degrees. So you understand there was a mystery religion definitely existing way back then in Egyptian times. And they exported people like Pythagoras, who, rather than going back to Greece or Athens or Attica, they went to a Greek colony in what now is Italy, and it was called Crotona. And he set up his school, and his school was burned down by the people eventually because they realized that his purpose was to train the youth to overthrow the adults, the elders, to bring in a new system. And that's where they burned down his school. But what's so interesting too, he used a technique that was later used by the Catholic Church. He had 5 years of secrecy and quietness and silence, where you studied and listened but you didn't speak before you're brought into the inner sanctum. The same thing you'll find with the Essenes that really came from Egypt into the Middle East around Jerusalem, but 2,000 years ago. The Essenes had the same technique, the same rituals, and they had also had a lay organization who were not allowed into the inner group. You had to be single, unmarried, to get into the inner group. We find the Catholic brotherhoods eventually took that in as well. Some of them specialized, like the mystic monks of Franciscans, down through the ages, and secrets were kept for them as well. They were all specialized in different areas. And there's no doubt about it that down through the ages, the mystery religions have come. But their main thing was revolution. We find the same thing with Socrates, who studied in Egypt. He came back. He was the first one to openly bring women in as well, young women, beautiful women too, educate them, but with the precise intention of getting them married into the ruling elite, and then with the intent of following instructions and trying to get their husbands to change their minds on certain policies and manipulate their husbands. This was found out again, and that was the real reason that he was tried in court for trying to overthrow the state by using the youth. It actually said corrupting the youth and the morality of the youth as well. From there you see it popping up again in Alexandria about the 3rd century AD under Neoplatonism, where even lesbians were teaching this in Alexandria. One of them was a well-known teacher who did gross things in front of her students because she was pretty well like a humanist today, existentialist. And when one student asked her about was there any point for marriage, etc., she literally, during her monthly cycle, pulled out a rag and says, "This is what you're in love with," and threw it at his feet. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I would expect today in some universities, actually. But it was happening back then, too. They were trying to destroy everything that was beautiful, that people wanted, family life, that type of thing, to bring in what they thought was a perfect, ruled, ordered society even back then. And they played their hand down through the ages. And then they broke out in Paris under the guise of Rosicrucianism. At the time, they had pamphlets all over France. The one thing they let them know to get members in was that they had very good knowledge of medicine and life extension. That was to attract people in. I don't doubt they did have advanced knowledge, because knowledge is never lost, especially knowledge that help the elite themselves.
From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.